Eleanor Roosevelt is one of America's most beloved figures. She was a leading diplomat, activist, and determined to change the world, which, as revealed in Susan Quinn's new biography, Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady, was due in large part to her relationship with reporter Lorena Hickok. Quinn reveals an adventurous and emotionally vulnerable side to Eleanor by allowing us to witness how this complex relationship, which lasted for more than three decades, transformed both women's lives and empowered them to play significant roles in one of the most tumultuous periods in American history. Again, the name of the book is Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. Susan Quinn is the author of Furious Improvisation and Marie Curie, A Life, among other books. And it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
What brought you to the subject of not only Eleanor Roosevelt, but ultimately this relationship?
It started with an interest in Harry Hopkins. I had written a book about the WPA Federal Theater Project and wanted to continue to write about the New Deal, and I thought the obvious subject was Harry Hopkins. I worked actually for a whole year on a book about Harry Hopkins. No one was interested. I think it was too big. It was sort of unformed in some way. But then out of that came an interest in, I learned about more about Lorena Hickok, who became an employee of Hopkins. And then very soon I became aware of this relationship with Eleanor and of the 3,000 plus letters that are at the FDR Library in Hyde Park. So that was a natural, much more natural subject, this relationship. And no one had really recently kind of mined these letters and told the full story of this relationship.
You do say in the book, and you certainly get the impression in reading the book, that this was a very complex relationship. How so, and how ultimately did it begin?
It began in 1932 because Hick was a very successful woman journalist, and that was unusual in her time. She was one of the top AP journalists, and she got the assignment of covering Eleanor Roosevelt during the first Roosevelt campaign. She became more and more interested in Eleanor, and Eleanor started to confide more and more in her. And over the course of a lot of travel during the campaign, together on lots of trains, they began to tell each other their life stories. They came from vastly different backgrounds. Eleanor Roosevelt, of course, came from this very privileged background and grew up in a mansion on the Hudson. And Hick grew up in South Dakota, was kicked out of her house by an abusive father when she was 14 and worked as a maid and barely made it through, even through high school. So very, very different backgrounds. But in some ways, they shared very sad, difficult childhoods because Eleanor's had been extremely lonely. She'd grown up with this Victorian grandmother and with the feeling that she wasn't living up to the family standards of being a beauty and a belle. And Hick, of course, grew up in great difficulty as well. So that was something that they shared in the beginning, and then they shared more and more and more. And that's how the relationship changed from being a professional one with Hick covering Eleanor to a love relationship where they were confiding in each other about everything.
You talk about at different points being lovers, confidants, advisors, friends, and I assume this is a relationship that developed over time, but also, and yes, look at the through the lens of Eleanor Roosevelt, who is then thrust into this existence as First Lady, was something that she needed to be independent, correct?
Yes, she really did not want to be a First Lady. Starting much earlier, she and Franklin had decided to be a couple in terms of work, but to have separate lives emotionally and professionally. And so she'd become very active in the Women's Democratic Party in New York. And also she was doing a lot of writing. She was teaching at a girls' school. She loved all of that. And she realized that if she became First Lady, that she's going to lose all of those things and have to have this ceremonial role. So Hick came along at a good moment because Hick was able to help her carve out a different style, and she became really a very unusual First Lady in that she had these all-women press conferences which meant that a lot of news organizations had to hire women. So that was endeared her forever to these women reporters. And also, Hick was the one who encouraged her to write the My Day column, which she wrote, you know, for her entire life. And also, Hick was the person that she could confide in and blow off to about all the family difficulties and secrets, of which there were many. And so Hick, you know, this woman who'd never married, who was a lesbian, who had no children, and certainly knew nothing about being from the upper class, was the one that Eleanor confided in for about the first 5 or 6 years after Eleanor became First Lady. So it was a really critical relationship at a difficult time for Eleanor Roosevelt.
You write in the book about FDR's death and how it was Hick who ultimately pushed Eleanor to continue to use her popularity. And so when we see Eleanor leading the UN's post-war human rights commission, a lot of this comes at the urging of Hick.
Yes. Eleanor was somebody who had many, many friends and supporters, and always seemed to be, you know, not so confident about herself. And so it really helped to have these other people believing in her, and also helped that people, including Hick, were advising her to not just answer every single letter and deal with every single little task, but to take on some big tasks where she could really make a difference. And that was definitely what she did, you know, going to the UN, this conference on human rights and that whole thing, you know, and then the rest of her life where she became a world traveler and really, you know, as Harry Truman said, first lady of the world in that latter part of her life. And Hick was watching at that point from the sidelines, but very much one of her supporters.
When you think of a reporter having a relationship and such a close relationship with a first lady, did that help in her job? Did that help in her career?
On the contrary, it spelled the end of her career, because what happened more and more was that she knew too many secrets. She knew so many things about the Roosevelt family. And of course, she was under pressure from her bosses at the AP to write those kinds of stories. So one example I give in the book is that Eleanor despised drinking because she came from this family that had her father really died of alcoholism, and she had a brother who was going in that direction, and she couldn't even stand the smell of alcohol. So there was, during one of the campaigns, there was discussion, the first campaign, discussion about the prohibition issue, which was one of the issues. And she said something about how people had to make their own judgments about drinking, and nowadays a girl has to know how to hold her gin. Eleanor said this, and this became a huge scandal because everyone was saying, well, Eleanor Roosevelt is very casual about drinking, and she's just, you know, making jokes about drinking, and it's no joke. Of course, Hick, who knew Eleanor well, knew that that was exactly the opposite of what she felt, and she was trying to sort of go with the flow. And so Hick's editors wanted her to write this whole story, and she refused, and they actually fined her. I guess in those days they fined employees. I don't know. But anyway, so that was kind of the beginning of the end. And then it turned out, more and more, she knew the secret. She knew that the daughter Anna, for instance, was in the middle of breaking up with her husband and having an affair with a journalist. That was all not out in the open at that point. But Hick knew all these things. So it became impossible for her to do her job. And at the time of the inauguration, the night before the speech, the famous speech that FDR gave, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, Hick was with Eleanor in the next room when he sent over the speech for Eleanor to read. She read it aloud to Hick, and Hick sitting there thought, all I would have to do is go out and drop a nickel and give a few choice quotes from this speech to my boss, and it would be the scoop of my life. And she didn't do it. She stayed with Eleanor that night and didn't do what she should have done as an AP reporter. And she realized at that point that that was the beginning of the end of her career as a reporter.
And obviously the flip side to that is Eleanor trusted her enough to know that she wouldn't do that.
Yes. Oh, at that point, absolutely. The trust was there. And it wound up in the end being something that Hick never entirely recovered from. She went on to work, to do really important work for Harry Hopkins, as I said, going out in the field and writing terrific reports. But she always said that being an AP reporter was the only thing she was really good at. And she gave that up for love, really.
As we started our conversation, you were talking about the letters. Give us a sense of the nature of those letters and how they were so important in your research for the book.
Some of them, particularly on Hick's side, quite long, and they're full of a lot of endearments on Hick's side and Eleanor's, but they also contain lots of descriptions of what's going on in the country. So there's a lot of detail about what Hick is observing in the mining camps of West Virginia or in the beet fields out west, people's struggles and the tremendous poverty and desperation. So she's writing Eleanor all these things. She's also filing reports for Hopkins about all these things. And those things often made it to FDR's desk, and he would use Hick's little detailed anecdotes with people, and they would be impressed and say, well, how did you know that? And it would often be because he'd been reading Hick's letters. They're fascinating letters, and they're on Eleanor's side. I would say, well, on both sides, but I would say on Eleanor's side, she confides in Hick in tremendous detail about painful things that are going on in the family, about her anger and she says at one point, why can't somebody have this job who would do it and who would like it? And, you know, and she at times she tells Hick that she's in the verge of tears condition, which she got in on numerous occasions. So all of that is in those letters.
Well, the name of the book is Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. Susan Quinn is the author of the book. She will be at the Henry A. Wallace Center at the FDR Presidential Library and Museum on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and you can find out more information about that event by going to fdrlibrary.org. fdrlibrary.org, 7 o'clock Thursday night, Susan Quinn, and the name of the book, Eleanor and Hick. Susan, thank you very much for joining us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me, too.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Eleanor and Hick. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.